Hello and welcome to Season 3, episode of Hello Coachcast. I'm Victoria Mills and today we'll be discussing leading from the inside out. In a rapidly changing and complex world, the challenge of effective leadership has never been more critical. This podcast aims to address the core issue of leadership, which begins with one's inner values, character, and self-awareness. Many leaders are faced with the demanding task of balancing external pressures with their own internal compass, which often gets obscured in the noise of everyday responsibilities. The problem at hand is really how to cultivate authentic values-based leadership that really comes from within and enabling leaders to make principled decisions to then inspire teams and navigate uncertainty with integrity. So really, why is this important right now? This is particularly important right now due to global leadership crisis, increased employee expectations for authentic leadership, both moral and ethical dilemmas, the need for resilience and adaptability, and the influence leaders have across organizational cultures. We need authentic values-based leadership, which is essential for navigating the complexities and uncertainties of the modern world with integrity and purpose. The AIM Leadership Survey highlights over 72% of Australian workers leaving their jobs is due to poor leadership, with communication skills and emotional intelligence seen as the critical skills gap that Australian leaders are facing. I'd love to introduce our guest today. Here with me right now is Dr. Annette Hassner, a distinguished Chief People Officer at Uniting Care, an influential leader in the HR and global transformational space. Annette has a remarkable career spanning EMEA and APAC, and alongside that, Annette has made her mark across diverse sectors, including consulting, technology, retail, agriculture, and government, and also a former lecturer at Sydney Uni, and has a PhD in change management and an organisational psychologist. I'm really excited to have Annette with you here today because, A, you've got the most incredible background, and I know when we first sat down, you had definitely passionate about this particular space, and I can tell with the micro detail with your bio and your background that the importance of really leading with clarity, I think, is going to come through. So welcome today. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you so much, Victoria. Really great to be here.
So let's tackle the number one burning question. And when before we sat down, we were talking about the importance of delivering organizational outcomes and how we can measure that delivery, because it's detailed and it does need to be planned and there does need to be structure around it, because we hear lots of organizations obviously talking about organizational outcomes, but really, how can we measure what they're delivering? And I know this is your background and your passion, so I am very happy going to hand over the talking stick.
No problem. Thanks, Victoria. I think to start off with, just back to your point about the problem that we're trying to solve here, we, as you say, have a significant shortage of motivational, inspiring leaders who drive organizational outcomes. What we found just recently through the intergenerational report that was published a couple of months ago is that if in Australia in particular, we don't start looking at productivity and improving productivity, and productivity is obviously driven through organizations delivering and delivering outcomes, we will end up in the next few decades with significantly lower wages and a depletion of our organizational resources. And that's something that everyone in Australia, certainly in the corporate environment, should be thinking about and should be focused on. And productivity is obviously directly linked to motivation. You are more productive the more motivated you are to do your job. And motivation really comes from two things when you do your job. One is the feeling of adding value, and two, it's the feeling of being valued. The value point is very important for motivation. And the way to feel like you are adding value is to see that you are part of achieving an outcome. It's to see that you are part of driving change. And it's to see that you are part of driving change that you believe in, that you think is going to do something good. You want to feel like you're putting your effort into something that is worthwhile. And so that's what drives that feeling of adding value. The second part of that, being valued, is knowing that your leader sees where you are adding that value and giving you the credit for adding that value, giving you the feeling like you are doing it, not taking the credit to themselves. And that's where I believe leaders should really focus in on. Firstly, driving those outcomes, organizational outcomes that achieve good and drive change, not just the widgets, not just the everyday turning of the wheel, but driving towards something better, doing something better. And then making sure that the people who are supporting them to do that, who are helping them to achieve those outcomes, know where they fit in achieving those outcomes and know that the leader sees their value in achieving those outcomes.
Wow. I came across, and I have mentioned this on a couple of other podcasts, a Gallup poll survey that was done across a few thousand employees, and their top three areas that they really value when they're searching for a new role was being a part of something wonderful, being able to be impactful, being able to be of purpose. And the other thing which I found incredibly fascinating but great for coaching was their need for coaching and their desire for professional development to really have the soft skills to drive that personal change as well as the organizational change and be a part of something bigger. And everything that you have just spoken through, there's nothing, I know I don't want to simplify it, but there's nothing hard around giving credit where credit's due. And I think it's a very old style of leadership where teams work incredibly hard and then the boss just comes in and takes the credit. And I would like to believe, and I'd love to hear your experience in what's happening out there in today's way of leading, that the importance of, to your point, this is where people feel valued, is when they do get the recognition where it's due and they're encouraged and their motivation becomes more increased. And when people are motivated, they're more engaged. And if they're more engaged, they drive more productivity because they're happier.
It's really quite simple. When you put it all together, it's really quite simple.
So in your roles, and you've had some incredible roles, what has been the most important or the most common question that you have got asked?
I think that the background that I have in change has had a lot of people want to understand how to drive change. And I think, again, and I will use the word outcomes a lot in this conversation, because I think ultimately, I think the narrative about change needs to turn into a narrative about outcomes, because you don't know how to drive change unless you're really focused on the thing you're trying to achieve. And I think change is the process to get there. And so when people talk about, well, how do I drive change? I've changed my mind about this quite a lot over the years. I've changed my mind in that rather than thinking about what the process is to get there, firstly, understand what is that thing that you're trying to achieve. Because when you ask people, what are you trying to change to? Very rarely would they be able to tell you. And unless you know what that outcome looks like, it doesn't matter what the process is. And many organizations that I've come to have said, we want to transform, we want to be transformational and transform. But then when you say, well, what does that look like? What does that transformation look like from here to the end? What does that end? How is that different to how we look today? It is very hard to articulate that.
That was going to be my next question. What is the journey that you take other leaders and organizations on to help them articulate what that change i.e. where they're headed to, how do they measure against it?
Yeah. So that requires a huge amount of conversation because you're really peeling an onion, right? Because people think in a linear way. They think from where they are outward. And this is not a linear thinking that's required here. What you need is to think from the end backwards. And thinking from the end backwards is not something people are generally used to doing. So you have to peel the onion and start asking a huge amount of questions around, but why? And if you do that, then what does that look like? And if that happens, where does that take you? And so you start piecing a whole bunch of puzzle pieces together until you get there. But it's not one type of question. It's not one line of questioning. It's a whole bunch of pieces put together. And it's very contextual. It's very dependent on what is happening in the organization right now and what are some of the challenges. And you need to remove a lot of the noises. I'll give you an example that's maybe very specific. If you are hiring someone for a job and you've got a certain view about what that person needs to look like and you know what you want for that job. But then, for example, if you're going to look at internal candidates, you start to think about, well, if I give that person the job, this other person might not like that I gave them the job, and how will I replace the person, and will I have enough bench? So you start getting distracted by all these other noises when really what you want as an outcome is to get the best person in that role. But you get yourself into that overthinking and overcomplicating, and something that can be very simple if you peel all the layers away from it. And if you keep reminding yourself, no, what I need to focus in right now is this the right person for the job? I'll solve all the other problems that come along with that answer after I land that. But I can't allow myself to get distracted by all these other parts that really have nothing to do with the outcome I'm after. And that's a very tiny, tiny example of where trying to get to an outcome can get so complicated by all these noises and distractions. And given that that's so tiny and organizational strategies are so huge and so complicated, you can only imagine how much work, how much thinking and analyzing and talking through organizational strategies or a vision or a transformation or like a long-term outcome requires.
I loved a couple of things. I'm going to blend a couple of sentences together, which is something that you said a moment ago around thinking from the end backwards and then leading from the inside out to get to a desired state.
Exactly.
I made that up. That's totally your philosophy.
That. Can I take that?
You can totally get. I'm a coach through and through. And part of, because I'm just taking some notes as you're talking around the steps to be able to facilitate that journey, and the number one thing is being able to decipher the noise, because we are surrounded by so much noise. And again, it's being able to find your own internal compass, which I would imagine then leads into leading from within and leading from the inside out firstly. And then that comes back to the desired state of being able to self-lead. I think it probably starts and finishes here, because if you can capture and harness the core ingredients to be able to facilitate your own awareness around being an extraordinary leader, firstly, looking at who you are and where you want to take yourself on that leadership program and that journey, then you can truly facilitate external change.
That's exactly right.
I love that. So tell me this, how do you know an organization? What are some of the signs and symptoms when you walk into a company or a business and you know that they are in dire need of some organizational change and to get clear on some of those outcomes? What are some of the signs and symptoms that are are obviously very obvious to you that may not be obvious to an organization?
I think they're also obvious to an organization, but I think we make up excuses. And when we don't know how to solve problems, we kind of let the problem fester. We sit next to the problem and we let it fester and we find band-aid solutions, because sometimes actually really thinking through the problem and its solution requires a huge amount of headspace and effort and requires some really challenging conversations. And that's, I find, something that leaders try to avoid on the whole. And I'm making a sweep generalization here. But I think there are definitely some key signs. One is when you sit at leadership meetings, the leaders aren't working on something. They are just going through the motions, you know, reviewing work that's been done and rubber stamping things and generally agreeing things. You can see most of the leaders don't feel. You can get a sense of the room that there's not a feeling of this is a really powerful, valuable conversation. There's not that engagement, that vibe of we're doing something really special here. So when you go into a room, any sort of leadership room in the organization, and that's not the vibe that people are getting, you can tell that something's a little bit off, whether it's that particular leader or the people that leader has on the bus. The other thing is, if people are constantly complaining about how busy they are, the busy, 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 I have a really strong belief that if you have to explain how busy you are all the time to every person that talks to you, you're probably ineffective in your job. And I have a really strongly held view about that. I think people who are really clear on their purpose and what they're there to do, they don't get that busy because they are focused on the things they want to achieve, on those outcomes they know are of a higher order, and those outcomes that will make the biggest difference, and those outcomes that will make their team shine. So if they're focused on these outcomes, and those outcomes aren't many, if they're focused on these outcomes, they don't have to be that busy. And then the other thing is, there was a time when I was recruited to a senior role, and the recruiter said to me, you know how you're going to be successful in this role is if you don't do anything. And that really stuck with me. This was about 6 years ago, and that really stuck with me. And I felt like there is something truthful about that. There's something very truthful about that, because you see the leaders that really don't take risks, the leaders that kind of warm the seat and don't drive outcomes, because when you're driving outcomes, you're taking risks. There's no two ways about that. You have to take risks. You have to challenge people. You have to remove barriers and obstacles. And that's other people's agendas. That's other people's outcomes sometimes. You know, you have to really negotiate your outcome to land. So if you're not doing that, you're not upsetting anyone. You're not getting in anyone's way. And so no one's looking at you saying, this person, we need to do something about that because you're not a problem. So I think if you're seeing a lot of people just be seat warmers, sure, that's low risk, but that's also significantly low reward.
Well said. Love to hear some of your own personal case studies that you have worked across and projects and teams that you have worked across that you've seen successful results, that you have been instrumental in taking the charge and leading the way forward. I would love to hear some of those just experiences from where an organization was obviously hurting in some way at point A and how you got them to point B, which is obviously to the point where leaders are no longer seat warming. They are thinking from the end backwards and they're totally embracing leading from the inside out.
Yeah. You know, it feels a little bit unmodest to share that, but I'm okay to maybe give a few examples and maybe not full case studies, more general highlights about what that can look like. I think, you know, you come into an organization and you have to have a really kind of quick analysis. You have to quickly analyze what you think is going to make a difference, because the quicker you go, the more likely you are to land things. Because it's like when people start figuring out what you are trying to do, they immediately start bringing up the barriers. So if you go really quickly, you don't get those barriers. And so, you know, the thing that really springs to mind right now is joining Uniting. I joined Uniting a year and a half ago. And I'm extremely lucky, I have to say. Uniting is such an incredibly purposeful organization. We talk about our purpose all the time. We deeply care about people. We deeply care about our customers. We deeply care about each other. And I'm also very lucky that I have a leader who inspires me and motivates me and who I absolutely admire and think the world of. When I joined, I inherited a team that was led by a different leader that was a little bit more like that kind of style of low risk, high levels of control. And my team were probably somewhat fractured and low on motivation. And I'm not going to sit here and say I've made them better. But the way that we started to work together and the way that we connected and the way we ran really quickly together by going, here are the few things that we absolutely need to achieve for the organization. And every time someone got a little bit distracted by what I like to call the uniting currents, you know, you get pulled into a million different directions. We kept going, the team kept going, no, this is like, focus on this thing that we need to do. And so I have to say, I inherited a really incredible group of people, and that really helps. But the ability to just keep focusing together on what really matters to us means that we were able to achieve some significant things over the past year. Significant, significant things.
Another question that I wanted to ask you was, what would be your top three key insights or strategies for leadership development? And I've just heard you say protein would have to be one of those critical ingredients to have for impacting, like really positively impacting leadership development. You need to have very engaged, willing, I can, rather I can't, blockers, barriers. What would be, only because you were talking about that a moment ago, what would be two other really important ingredients for leadership development?
Yeah. So I think one of the misnomers in leadership is that confidence equals competence. I'd say that I have actually found quite the opposite. And I say to my team as well, I keep repeating, please stay anxious. I don't need you confident. I almost need you worried. I need you thinking about what can go wrong whilst really striving towards that thing that you're trying to achieve. I'm not interested in having people in my team or seeing people in, you know, in the leadership team who are very, very self-assured. Being very self-assured is actually quite a problem, because it means that you're uncoachable. It means that you maybe aren't listening to yourself as much and asking yourself and challenging yourself about whether or not what you're doing is right. And that really comes back to the leading from the inside out, that constant self-talk, self-challenge, self-reflection. One of the things that I have been doing right from the beginning of my career is constantly reflecting on every important meeting that I have or had. I used to come out of these meetings and really sit with myself. I used to take myself out for walks and really think through, what did people say? What did I say in return? Was that right? What could I have said?
And I did a lot of self-coaching as well, but I also looked at people who I thought were really good at meetings and really good at debating and negotiating within meetings. And I had the absolute fortune and pleasure as well to see some absolute stars when it comes to landing a point or landing a decision. And those are the learnings that I took with me. So I've had a lot of coaches. Some of those coaches don't even know that they've been my coaches. But I've learned so much from other people just by observing and then replaying in my own head and then trying to be them, you know, trying to pretend like I'm them and almost bringing their personas into meetings that I'd go into in a fake it till you make it kind of approach. But I really believe in that constant self-development, constant self-coaching, constant self-challenging. You know, you can see leaders that don't do that. You can see leaders that you sit there and you listen to them and you think, are you even listening to yourself right now? Because what you're saying is making no sense. So one of the tips or asks I think I would have for leaders is make sure that if you are not constantly reflecting and listening to yourself, make sure that someone else is and is giving you feedback about how you are coming across.
I loved everything that you said. I've taken lots of notes. Amazing. It also reinforces a secret power, though it's not really that much secret, is about being truly authentic and being able to be okay in showing your authentic self at work and also knowing when you don't have the answers. And so I have a lot of conversations with many leaders and CEOs across, and some of the best outcomes are achieved is with the team collaboration and being able to also for leaders not to be able to get sidetracked away from the mission and to land that point.
That's right.
And you said some really critical things with that you've been very fortunate to have some meeting mentors where you have learnt how to negotiate and how to manoeuvre through the noise of what can happen when you have large teams that are also wanting to have opinions. And it's a fine line sometimes between being consultative versus being more directive and focused on the outcome to make sure that everyone is heard on certain points and therefore giving positive feedback and everyone feeling valued and a part of that conversation. And before you know it, you're down the rabbit hole unless you, again, have that sense to be able to pull back, reflect, go back to your point before around being able to be clear on the end point and work backwards to make sure that you never lose your eye on that focus point and that target.
That's 100% exactly the way I think about it. I just want to come back to your point about authentic leadership, because I have this strong belief that everything that you are thinking, people can hear. People can hear your thoughts. And I'm always thinking that people can hear my thoughts. Almost constantly make sure that my thoughts are expressed in a way that makes sense to other people as well. So if I'm thinking this person sitting next to me, I'm actually quite threatened by them because they're coming across really powerfully and I don't know my own content as well as they do, I would express that out loud. I would actually try and say that in a way that makes both of us look good, because the alternative to that is for me to sit in my shame and be seen as lower than them or to even try and compete, and that's even worse. So giving that person a lot of credit for how wonderful they're expressing themselves and at the same time saying, you know, there's a lot for me to learn from how you just expressed yourself is very powerful. So checking your own thoughts and then expressing them out loud, assuming that people can hear what you're sensing, is one of those powerful tools that I'd strongly recommend once you are reflective and really strongly self-aware.
Thank you. Another great response on these questions. I guess to summarize, I mean, you and I could sit here for another 2 hours and more probably to be able to, and definitely love to be able to pick up the conversation again at another point, because it is a really important topic. And given, I know we've spoken about this for years, you know, with COVID and post-COVID and where the world is at, there is deep global uncertainty now that is impacting so many, many people. And I do believe that organisations have a duty of care to be able to help the skills of their people in whatever way, shape or form they can, to make sure that they know that they're cared for. And you raised this point before around United, you have that right now. And when people truly, and I mean truly authentically, know that they're cared for, they don't stray, they stay, they care back, and then that translates into care for their customers and the work that they're doing and the purpose that they're waking up every single morning, that they're choosing to go and work for that organization. And I think that that, I really believe that that needs to be harnessed more. Because people are not robots, and I say this a lot, they have lives, they have feelings, they have their own challenges. And to be able to provide a really wonderful, safe place for them to be able to come and express their thoughts and be a part of something magical is ultimately the end point that I'm referring back to your comment before around thinking about and being clear of what is the target, what is the mission. And then work backwards from that, because I don't believe it's rocket science. I believe that it's you do need to have the infrastructure and the right guidance and the right leaders moving forward, but ultimately to care along every step along the way.
That care is really important. And I believe and really, really hope that the people under my stewardship really feel cared for, and I would do a lot to make them feel that way. And I certainly feel cared for. In fact, I'd say in Uniting, this is the most psychologically safe I've ever been in my career, which is an extraordinary feeling, not to wake up at 3 a.m. feeling like, am I going to have a job tomorrow, is an extraordinary feeling. Not that I've always felt that way, but this is by far the most safe I've ever been. And, you know, someone asked me yesterday, what do you want to do next? What's your next career move? And this is the first time in my career that I don't have the answer, because I'm not thinking about it.
And you're also being very present to the role that you have right now. And it's obviously nourishing every part of who you are. And you've got, obviously, there's still a journey ahead of you, and your work isn't done yet with Uniting. So
very true.
Thank you very much for joining me here today.
Thanks, Victoria.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Hello Coachcast. Now, if you've enjoyed the conversation that I've had here today, we'd love you to subscribe, like, share, or even perhaps leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Now, also, if you'd like to work on improving the organization structure and outcomes and learning within your teams, we'd love to hear about it. So we're also offering a free coaching trial for a limited time. 10 leaders can come on board and enjoy an experience of Hello Coach with 3 coaching sessions over 3 weeks. So if this is something that you're interested in, please reach out to us at hello-coach.com. And thank you again for Dr. Anat for joining me here today, and look forward to joining you again very soon.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. As a thank you for spending time with us, we'd like to give you a special offer to kickstart your coaching and help you build on your progress today. Your coach will help you break down your obstacles, clarify your goals, and set actionable steps to create the future you dream of. Whether you seek to improve your well-being, change your career, build your business, or deepen your connection with those around you. To get this limited time offer, visit hello-coach.com and kickstart your coaching today. Don't miss out. Join us each week for more insights from our world-class coaches by subscribing to Hello Coachcast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you listen to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can leave us up to a 5-star review. Until next time, take care, and remember, Hello Coach is here to guide you on your journey to your best life.